It is hard for us to leave family in the Lord. We get to know one another. We associate with one another. We get close to one another. We learn failures and successes and all. And it's hard to separate. But there are things that must be done. There are responsibilities that we have, and sometimes that means that there's a need for change. And I use that not just because of them, but the Apostle Paul saw this situation time and time again. Now, I'm not trying to put Will and Barbara on the level of Apostle Paul. They're great folks, but I'm not going to try to put them up there on that pedestal. But it does remind us that Paul left a lot of people behind oftentimes. And the letters that we find that the Apostle Paul wrote are letters going back to those people that he loved, those people that he had given a part of himself to so that they might come to know God. And there are any number of things that we could look at from the teachings and the writings of the Apostle Paul to these various congregations and individuals, and we do from time to time this evening. I want us to look at five admonitions in the final words of the Apostle Paul in his first letter back to the brethren in Corinth. Now, these brethren had a lot of problems. They had a lot of good things as well, but they had a lot of problems. They had difficulties and struggles, and Paul had heard some things about them. And it caused him some concern. And while there are any number of places we could turn in the book of 1 Corinthians to learn something that will help us today, because while we might not have the same exact problems, we have problems that deal with the same principles and teachings that Paul gave to them. There are five things that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, that I think are things that we need to keep in front of us every day of our lives as children of God. Five things that he has to say there that can help us remain faithful to the Lord. He says, beginning in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, be on the alert. Some versions may render that as watch. We need to be on guard. We need to constantly be watching. And in some ways, I kind of hesitate to do a whole lot and spend a whole lot of time on this. We've been talking about this in some of the instruction that Jesus has been giving his apostles in the last few lessons in our Wednesday night class, because he's preparing them for the time when he would no longer be with them. And time again, he emphasizes to them that they need to be watching. They need to be careful. In fact, one of the texts I want to look at as we think about this idea of being alert is one we've looked at recently, Matthew 24, verse 42 through 44. And certainly there's more in that text. We won't read through all of it. But this thought process that Jesus has here continues for several more verses. But he says in verse 42, beginning of Matthew chapter 24, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think his will. Watch. It's the instruction that Jesus gave to his apostles and the disciples, those that would listen to him. It's the instruction that the apostles gave to those that they taught. Be on the alert. It's the message that God gave to the prophets and the leaders of the nation of Israel and to the individuals of the nation of Israel. Be on the alert. Always watching. Always ready. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, as he was giving orders to them saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Here's another angle of that watching out that we need to have. Not just watching so that we're prepared for when the Lord returns, but watching out for those that would pull us away from the Lord. I don't have the text on the screen, but Peter tells us that we need to be alert because Satan is sneaking around trying to pull us down and devour whomever he may be able to take. When Paul gives instruction to the Ephesian brethren, we recognize Ephesians chapter 6. That's the passage where he talks about put on the whole armor of God. But remember that last piece of armor that he talks about? He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. Be aware. Be alert. And stay in touch with God to keep your alertness sharp. We need to be alert. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, we have an image that's similar to one that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus in Luke chapter 11 says there, beginning in verse 33, no one after lighting a lamp puts it away in a cellar or under a blanket, but on the lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light that is in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illuminated as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. We've got to watch ourselves. We've got to watch for the Lord and be alert and be ready. We've got to watch out for false teachers and always be on guard. We've got to watch our contact and awareness of God in our lives. And we've got to watch who we are, what kind of person we are, what kind of light we are putting forth. We need to keep our eye and make sure that our light doesn't go out. 2 John verse 7 through 11. John says, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you don't lose what we have accomplished, but you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him in your house and do not give him greeting, for the one who gives him greeting participates in his evil deeds. We hear those last couple of verses pretty regular about false teachers. But remember, that's in the context of watch out for the deceivers. We need to be alert. We don't seek the opportunity to take a nap when we're thinking about our service to the Lord. We're always watching, always alert. Like the watchman that was standing watch over the ancient city. Like the guard that stands at the gate of the military base. Always alert and aware. We need to be alert. We need to, as Paul says, next in those two verses, stand firm. But take note, he doesn't just say stand firm. He says stand firm in the faith. And I got several passages here, but before we go look at those passages, I want you to keep in mind as we think about these things, this idea of stand firm in the faith, I think it should take our minds back to the righteous man that the psalmist said is like the tree planted by the rivers of waters with deep roots. Well-founded. That's in the faith. Stand firm in the faith so that you can stand up. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, we see in the record that Peter took his stand with the 11. Now, that may just be a notation that Peter stood up along with them. But the things that followed illustrate to me that Peter didn't just stand up, but he stood up with the message of God. He took his stand. He said, here is where I will stand up and be counted. And certainly, that is the example that we see of the apostles and inspired men in the book of Acts. Later in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, those who were in prison were told by the Spirit to go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this lie. He wasn't just giving instruction to go stand up while you're preaching. In fact, sometimes we may take that just a little bit too literal and think that every time that we have somebody teaching, he has to be standing up. That's not necessarily the case. what the Spirit is saying there, go and take your stand with Christ before the people. Let them know where you stand. Stand up and be counted is the idea here as well. In Romans chapter 11, verse 20, the Apostle Paul there told the brother that they needed to stand by their faith. And there again, I can see two ways that that can be seen. We are standing because of the ability we have to stand because of the faith, because we're standing firm in the faith. But we also stand beside the faith. We stand beside the gospel to let everyone know what we stand for and who we stand with. Sometimes we use that illustration of stand by. There's a song from way back, Stand By Your Man or something that shows you support your husband if you're alive. Stand by the faith. But also stand by the faith. We need to stand. Earlier in this book, as Paul wrote to the brethren, certainly we recognize 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a chapter that talks about this idea of standing. In the first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And just a few verses ahead of where we started this evening, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the instruction, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That idea of steadfast is stand firm. Stand up and stand firm. Don't let anybody wash you away. Don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine that may come along. Of course, we referenced Ephesians chapter 6 a moment ago with the armor of God. Verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, wearing that armor as he continues to enumerate that. Stand firm in the faith. This is what it literally means to stand firm in the faith, to let the faith that is developed through our reading and studying of the Word of God be what allows us and causes us to stand without wavering. Because we are rooted and grounded in the Word, we are able to stand fast no matter what may come upon us. Paul told the brethren in Philippi, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord. He told the Thessalonians, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Stand firm in the faith. Let it be known that you are a child of God, and then stand in that place. Like those men who went with Gideon to fight against the Midianites, stand in your place. Stand up and be counted. Peter, in the closing of his first epistle in chapter 5 and verse 12, said, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. You need to stand firm, steadfast, unmovable for the Lord. And the way we do that is with the Lord and His Word. I think that's something that is similar to this, the Apostle Paul says next. He says, act like men. Act like men. Act with maturity. Earlier, the Apostle Paul had told the Corinthian brethren in chapter 14 and verse 20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Folks, we're not going to stand firm and be alert if we're not mature. not like God wants us to. And certainly there is a period of time that it takes for us to develop into one who is a mature Christian and able to stand firm. And while that's happening, we need to have strong Christians around us to support us and to help us. But still, our goal ought to be to grow up in the Lord. Grow up into the knowledge and understanding of His Word so that we can become mature men. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 13. The reason we have apostles and prophets and teachers and preachers, the reason the Word has been delivered to us, Paul says in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We need to act like men, grown, mature individuals. Not like children who are tossed around by every little thing that might flicker. You ever watch the kid while you're going through the store? Especially if it's a toy store. You walk past this and their mind is completely focused upon that, and you get them to turn just a little bit, and they see something else that's a little bit shinier and they're ready for it. And you go just a little further and there's something else they want. Everything that comes along catches their attention. But watch a young one in a new room. He won't grab one thing and focus on it for very long. His attention will be taken away by just everything that happens. We can't be like that. We have to be mature because we have to be able to stand. We can't be distracted by the things that are going on in the world around us. We've got to be alert and ready, watching. So we need to act like mature individuals. Certainly, the rebuke of the Hebrew writer would apply here. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained and discerned to discern good and evil. You remember what that's the close of what rebuke? They were still infants. They still couldn't understand. They were still children in the faith because they hadn't exercised their senses. They'd not spent time in the Word of God and come to a mature understanding of who we are. They were children. And as such, there was difficulty in getting some concepts across to them. But the one who spends time in the Word of God and nourishes his mind and his soul and his body upon that can grow up to be a mature Christian. One who's able, by being alert and watching what's going on, is able to determine that which is right and that which is wrong. Able to make the decision that will lead them closer to God rather than closer to Satan. We need to be mature. Therefore, Paul told the Corinthian brethren in his next letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home in the Lord. And this passage, because of the word courage, I attach it with maturity. Because that comes with maturity and with knowledge and with understanding. Courage to do what's right even when it's not the popular thing to do. That's one of those things we associate with maturity. That's why we sometimes talk about teenagers or young people as being a little bit flighty sometimes. Because they've not gained the courage yet that would cause them to be able to say, no, I can't do that. Even though everybody else around them is. Courage is a part of maturity. But it also leads us into the next thing that the Apostle Paul has to say when he says, be strong. Be strong. Don't waver. You know that said of Jesus? In Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And once again, this is one of those passages where I can see that in two ways. He became strong physically as he grew and increased and developed his physical body, but he also became strong spiritually. And I kind of hesitate to say it because he's Jesus, you know? I really think it's more the idea of his strength began to show as he grew. He became strong physically, but his spiritual strength began to show. And it was becoming evident to those that were around about him, if they were paying attention. Because being strong comes with growing and maturing in the faith. Finally, my brethren, Paul told the Ephesian brothers in chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. This strength is not something that we have to develop of our own, but it's a strength that comes from God and from a focus upon God and from a concern with God's word and spending time with it. So it's a strength that comes as we mature as Christians. But it's a strength that allows us to be able to stand in the face of opposition. And it's a strength that we need. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And you know, to be strong is just in that first verse. But verse 2 and 3 kind of explain what Paul is talking about when he says, Timothy, you be strong. You stand up and you continue to proclaim the gospel and you present it to others so that they can present it as well. You endure hardship. That's shown. That's a demonstration of our strength in the Lord. And there again, that ties us back to what we've been talking about in the book of 1 Peter. In our Sunday morning Bible class, that we're going to suffer as Christians, knowing that we need to be strong so we can withstand. As I was thinking about all of these things, the image that came to my mind is those two oak trees in my front yard. And I don't know how alert they are because the squirrels have run all over the place with them. But they're firmly planted. They are mature. And those things have caused them to be strong. Now, one of these days, there's probably going to be some wind come along and take them down. Or they're going to get old and die. But thus far, because they have matured with strength, they can stand firm. Because they are firmly planted and have grown, they are strong. You see how all these things work together? If we're not standing firm and mature, or at least maturing, we're not going to be strong and we're not going to remain alert. Strength allows us to be alert. It's when we get weak, when we get tired, that we begin to doze off or to nod away or to lose our focus a little bit. All these admonitions of the Apostle Paul are intertwined with one another. But I said he had five, didn't I? Let all that you do be done with love. Turn with me back a few chapters to chapter 13 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Because I can't help but think that as the Corinthian brethren read that admonition, they thought back to this passage in this letter that he'd just written, that they were in the midst of reading. The first thing that came to my mind when I read, let all things be done with love. And Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Why? because we have faith, hope, and love that abide. But the greatest of these is love. It needs to be the motivation behind all the things that we do. Love for God. Love for Christ. Love for our brethren. And love for our fellow man. Let everything you do be done with love. All of these admonitions, be alert, stand firm, act mature, be strong, are tempered and guided by love. The admonitions of the Apostle Paul, while initially sent to the brethren in Corinth, fall upon us today. We need to heed those things. No matter what area of our life we're talking about, these admonitions need to be remembered. Strong in the Lord. Not acting with maturity, with wisdom that has come from accumulation and gathering of knowledge and learning how to use that. Not standing firm in faith, but we can stand firm in a lot of things for a little while. And then we can stand firm in forever in faith. Word of God. Is that where my foundation is? I built on the ship of sands of the ideas of teaching you. Am I alert? Am I watching for the Lord? Am I watching for evil? Am I watching for false teachers? Am I watching myself? These admonitions fall upon us. As Christians, Paul wrote writing to a non-believer, he was writing to those who were children of God. These admonitions fall upon the children of God. Are we using these in our life? And do we have the Lord in our life so that we can use the Word of God to guide us through this world? Without Christ, we're nothing. The righteous man is able to be like the tree that sits in the river of water and stands firm because he has God. Without God, nothing holds. I urge each and every one of us to look at our own lives and encourage to make sure that we're right in the sight of God. If you've got sin corrected, if the congregation can assist you, certainly we're ready and willing to help with that. If you're not a child of God, I urge you to strongly consider the situation that you're in. The lack of options that you've given yourself. Because salvation only comes to those who serve the Lord. You look this evening and find that you realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you're ready and willing to give your life to Him in His service so that you might be able to stand firm and help others to go to heaven and you might be able to go yourself. It's time to take action. It's time to stand up and confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God and take the steps that will allow you to turn away from the things of the world and who you used to be. Become who God would have you be. You can be buried in baptism, having sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that you might arise a new creature, a child of God, one who is ready to go to heaven and who can be alert and mature. Strong and stand firm. Why don't you resolve to give your life to the Lord this evening? If we can assist, come and let your desire be known while we stand.